Hey, it's the Productize Podcast. My name is Brian Castle. Thank you for tuning in today. You're going to hear my conversation with Janet Kapadar. She followed a pretty similar path to the one that I took and that I think many people have taken, going from leaving a full-time job into going freelance on your own, doing kind of generalized consulting work, but then pretty quickly transitioning into a productized service model, which has allowed her to grow and scale up her team. So she focuses on the online courses, online membership, online training space. Her clients and the people who kind of follow her work are anyone who needs to launch, set up, maintain, grow their online training. And so it was really interesting to hear how Janet learned how to delegate, how to streamline, how to focus in on her most ideal customer, and then how she began to grow her team beyond just herself. And she's made a lot of strides in there. And she's really followed along in the same path that I think most of the people who've gone through the Productize course have, and the coaching and the community. And so it's a pretty common story, pretty common thread, but of course, always inspiring. So here, without further ado, here's my conversation with Janet Kapadar. Enjoy. Okay, so I'm here with Janet Kapadar. How are you, Janet?
I'm good. Thanks, Brian. How are you?
Yeah, thanks. Great to talk to you again. And I'm excited to kind of dig into your story here. Of course, you run your site at janetkapadar.com. We'll link it up in the show notes. So yeah, I mean, how do you kind of describe what you do today?
Yeah, so I would call myself, well, actually my clients call me the course midwife. So I basically help my clients create online courses and birth their ideas. So I do that in a few different ways, through done for you service, but also developing membership sites and putting course platforms together and setting up all the tech stuff, as well as doing like e-learning consulting for SMEs and not-for-profits as well. So it kind of goes across the board as the different types of people that I help, but it's pretty much all the same, like all the same thing.
Very cool. So if I had to kind of boil down what you do, you're like the e-learning or online courses person. If you're trying to launch a course or run a course online or do any sort of teaching online, you can basically help people put that all together piece by piece.
That's right. Exactly right. So if you're exactly what you said, if you're looking to create an online course or set up a membership site, you know, with some form of like recurring revenue model, then really I'm the person to turn to for that. But then also when it comes to the course content side of things, some people really struggle with that. I also help them like kind of unpick their idea and kind of get their idea out of their head and put it down on paper in a way that actually helps someone get to an outcome, gets to an objective at the end of it. So I also help with the course content side of things as well as the tech side.
Awesome. So today we're going to really kind of jump back and hear your story of how you started out and how you've evolved and started to productize this service and really make a lot of progress with it. But, you know, before we jump backwards, I just want to get a clear sense of like what it looks like today. So are you working solo on this or do you have a team?
Yeah, so I have a team. So I have two other people that work with me and they are part-time and then there's myself. And so what we do is we have a couple of different offerings, but the main one that we offer is a done-for-you service where we fully take over. I help the client with the course content and the development of that, you know, helping them get all of that streamlined and getting everything down on paper and helping them with the slide development or worksheets, whatever that is. And then my team really take over the development side, so the technical side and the setup and the implementation. So that's pretty much how we're set up today, just a small robust team. And I think it's helped because we do have a productized service. Takes the headache out of figuring out what to do. And I really have been quite strict on who I take on for that very reason, because I just want to make sure that I'm working with the right people that I can help. And that also doesn't overload, you know, us as a team as well, and kind of put us in the wrong place or take on, you know, the wrong type of client who isn't quite ready to create their course. That's a, you know, client readiness is a big one for us. So, yeah, so yes, that's pretty much how we look at the moment.
That's a really good point. I definitely want to dig into how you kind of define that ideal customer and how you go through that process. So just again, just to get a clear sense of what it looks like today. So you're based in Australia.
Yes, that's right. So I am from London, but I live in Australia.
Okay, cool. So those who kind of mix up your accent.
Yes, that's why it's totally screwed up.
Yep. Cool. So your teammates, are they near you in Australia?
No. So I have a virtual team and they're in the Philippines. They're hired through Barbara Turley's business, the Virtual Hub, who you had before. Yeah. Yep. So I have two VAs through her company.
Great. And so your clients, what does your client base look like? Like, are they all over the world? Are they local? And like, how many different clients do you work with at a time? Can you give us like a picture of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So really, they are all over. I have a few clients. I think probably over the last 4 years, I've had maybe 4 or 5 clients in Australia. Mm-hmm. And the rest have been either in the US or UK, Canada, New Zealand as well. Just all over the place. So I don't have any local clients. And it's quite funny when I go to, I went to an event in Sydney and was talking to a couple of people. They said, oh, yeah, whereabouts are your clients based? I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got some in Canada. And it is quite, for someone who doesn't have an online business, it is quite a mind-blowing thing. Like,
oh, I know.
Wow, how did you do that? And I'm like, that's quite easy. But then, you know, it seems easy for me, but for them, it's like, oh my God, you know, that's
totally crazy. People, it's so true. Like people listening to this, I'm sure we're all like, oh yeah, of course we know Slack, we know Zoom, Skype, like that stuff is normal day to day. But I mean, I was at Thanksgiving dinner last week with my family and telling them that my team is, you know, and they're just based around the US, most of them, but in different states across the US, and they're just blown away. Like their mind is blown. Like they don't understand. Like, how do you like not, you know, how do you work in your sweatpants every day? You know,
exactly. Like, how is that even possible? Like it's still, even my husband still, you know, it's the same thing. You know, he sees me talking to my computer and he's like, who are you talking to? Like, this is really, it's quite strange. But so that's pretty much.
So in terms of your client base, as you talked about, it's folks who are kind of launching an online course or they kind of run an online course. So I'm a little bit curious about how your service packages break down. And again, we'll then jump back into how you've evolved into this. But like, what does it look like today? Like, is it typically a one-time project where somebody wants you guys to help them build and then launch their course and then it's done? Or is there like an ongoing recurring aspect to it?
Yes. So it's just done on a project basis. And for our main one, so that our main Done For You service takes care of all the content development side of things, as well as the technical design and setup of their course platform, whichever one they decide to choose. And with that package, that's just done on a project basis. And what I found is that works the best for me. Like by the end of it, I'm like, oh, yay, it's done. Go into the world. Go fly, beautiful bird. I'm done with it. I don't want to see it anymore. Not in a bad way, but I feel that's how I work best. And then another package that I have is a membership site and online course development package, which is just really much just setting up their whatever they decide to use, whether it's a WordPress plugin or ClickFunnels. I use ClickFunnels quite a bit. ClickFunnels membership site. Or one of the other plug and play platforms, just setting that up. Because those are really for the people who have all of their content, but they just, as they always say, I'm not techie, you know? Right. And then so we just go in, we just go and set it up all for them and show them how it works and what they need and how it works specifically for them. And so with that, I have found that, and I have added like a support to that. And that goes for about 2 to 3 months or so. And that works well for that specific type of person because they need that support and someone to, you know, ask a question or bounce an idea off, even though, you know, a lot of these tools have great support, but specific to what I've set up for them, they found that really beneficial. And that normally lasts for about 3 months or so. I don't, you know, if they want to keep going, then that's fine. But I normally find that after about 3 months, they're like, okay, I feel good with this. I'm happy with it. I know what I'm doing. I don't need any further support. And that's cool. And that's totally fine.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people kind of getting into productized services, they often limit themselves, I think, in a way, because they feel like they have to go to some sort of recurring retainer model. But I really think that the one-time project, there's still a lot of value to be had on both sides there, both for you and your team and for the client, obviously, because, you know, there's a lot of value when you're solving a problem that is just project-based, that isn't necessarily ongoing, they just need this thing built. You can, of course, kind of capture the lifetime value all in one shot, and they can kind of, you know, get the value all up front. But then I'm sure there's some opportunity for repeat sales and like launching a second course and that sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah. And what I found with the project based, the done for you project package that I have, is that most of the time they do end up coming back. So when they're looking to relaunch it, they either want to change something or use a different tool. And then, you know, that has happened where, you know, some clients have had to move platforms altogether. So that's a whole big like migration that we kind of take over for them. So, or they want to update the content or whatever it is. So I do find that once I do work with them, it's not like I've lost them and they've gone, but they do tend to come back. And I, you know, as a team, we do really pride ourselves on doing great work and making sure that we deliver to a high standard. And so it works out well. Like I don't think anyone should really limit themselves and think, oh my God, you know, it has to be recurring. Like, don't cut yourself off there. Just see how it goes for now. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you mentioned a few tools that how you use like ClickFunnels and a few other things. Like, do you kind of specialize in one, or do you generally recommend one to your clients? I know that a lot of people have like built entire services just on the back of a popular tool like ClickFunnels. Have you gone that way?
Yeah, so I did do that initially. And the funny thing is that was the service when I purchased the course from you, that was the service that I wanted to productize. And the funny thing is I kind of left that because business really picked up with the other package that I have, the Done For You one. It's really big, you know. And so I had to just hit the ground running and just like, okay, right, we've got like five clients all at once, like it all in one go. And so I really need to kind of like steady the ships, so to speak, and start putting in some better systems. But yeah, so we have, we do use ClickFunnels, but I'm not, I don't like pushing my clients into certain tools. I'm nerdy enough that I've used almost all of them, broken almost all of them. So I know what their capabilities are. So I really try and make sure that I find the right fit for that person's business so that they can use it to either scale up or depending on what their objectives are. But I have tried to kind of branch out a little bit and use different tools. But I found that, funny enough, that ClickFunnels is a really good entry point. Most people purchase the template from me, and then from there, they're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. And then that's when we actually get to talk about what they really want and find the best tool for them. So yeah, it seems to have worked quite well for me in that respect.
Got it. And so you sell a template. Is that specifically for ClickFunnels or?
Yeah, specifically for ClickFunnels, but it doesn't mean that that's what we end up using for them. It's really, you know, trying to find the best fit for them. Sometimes they end up using Teachable. Sometimes they want to have a WordPress plugin, use a WordPress plugin or like Ambition Ally or something like that. But it's funny. It just comes in at a great entry point because that's what people think they need. But then once they get in there, they're like, oh, I don't know if this does what I really need. So yes, it's quite strange.
Yeah. Well, that's a good kind of, you know, lead or entry point right there. So, all right. So let's go back into your story. I mean, why don't we kind of go like way back? So did you say you were from UK originally?
Yes. Yeah. So born in the UK, lived there up until 8 years ago. So I've been living in Australia for 8 years now. And prior to that, my experience has been in marketing communications, advertising. I worked for an advertising agency. I worked for brand communications. So it's really varied. And then when I came out here, I thought I really just want to kind of get out of that space. I want to do something totally different.
What led to the move?
And my husband got a job out here, so then we had to up sticks and nice. Move.
Was that the time that you left the job and went out on your own? Or
No. So when I moved out here, I found myself a job and I worked for a management consultancy that did a lot of training and learning and development with government agencies here and also the private sector, but mostly government agencies. I'm in Canberra, which is the capital, so we're surrounded by government buildings. It's a bit like Washington. So that's who I worked for. And I found that I just loved it. It was so different to what I had been doing before, you know, working in advertising and marketing communications. But it still had the same kind of elements. You know, you're still trying to get people to an outcome, or still trying to get them to perform an action or whatever it is. But I really enjoyed that. And that's where it kind of stemmed from. I did that for about 3 years, and then I had my son. And then when I had him, I was like, I can't go back to work. I can't do this anymore. This is not going to work. Even though I had, you know, a great boss and she was very flexible, but it just didn't work for me. And I think one of the things that really, you know, pissed me off the most about that was that it was a small business and they were raking it in. And then I would, you know, look at my pay packet. It was like, this doesn't work. Right. You know, this is not on. And I think in some ways, I think my boss at the time really inspired me to do what I do now, and kind of go off on my own and do my own thing. So do give kind of credit to her in that respect. And so, yeah, so I went off on my own. And
that was about 3 years ago?
Yeah, about three, almost 4 years ago now.
And so what was like, so when you left that position, what was kind of your plan from there before you even...
You know what? I didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
I didn't have one. Awesome. I just kind of fumbled together. At the very, very, very beginning, I did a bit of VA work and just trying to find my feet and trying to work out what will work. That didn't work at all because I ended up having to go to sleep school with my son. He wasn't sleeping. I wasn't sleeping. I was trying to serve clients in Canada. It was a whole mess. So that just didn't work. I did that for a couple of months. And once I tried to get back on my feet and work out what I was doing, I really stumbled in more into the kind of online space and, you know, kind of developing. At the time, then it was more like info products and stuff. And it was interesting because I was really shocked at the quality that was being put out. I'd come from a background of creating really high level, really high quality training for, you know, execs and for leaders and top government departments. And so I was like, oh, crumbs. This can't be right.
So you're kind really? Of going, like you're kind of searching around and finding courses and people who are selling courses, info products that interest you, that kind of look like they could really help where you're at. And then you purchase a couple of them and you find that the quality is just not there.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And I
feel like we've all gone through that. And I've certainly seen that myself for sure.
Yeah.
You know, with various courses, especially like, you know, pretty high priced ones. And once you get inside, it's like everything on the front end is so perfected and really dialed in. And then once you kind of purchase and get inside, and you see this with big companies too. I mean, like my insurance company, like they've got slick television commercials, but then once you're in the account, you can't actually do anything. But
yes, exactly. Exactly right. And that's just, oh God, that's a nightmare. Don't even get me started on something like that. But I know what you mean. And it's once I kind of did go down that kind of rabbit hole, and I just bought them just to kind of see, like, so what's this person doing? But they would have the best marketing, you know, just saying all the right words, and then get inside like, oh God, that's deflating, you know? And so that was really how my business was born. Out of that kind of, and I could see it. There was no one really talking about, you know, how to help someone create a course or what tools to use or really guiding someone through the process of going down this path, because it's a big project and it's not something that you can do it on your own, obviously. But it's, I think people underestimate how much time it takes to complete it.
You know, you're so right about that. And I feel like online courses or selling like an ebook, something like that, info products in general, I feel like there are a lot of people, not that people shouldn't do it and not that it's not worth doing, but you're right. So many people underestimate how much work and time goes into it, but also how much strategy it takes to really make an effective course that will actually help someone achieve an outcome. And I've certainly kind of learned that the hard way, and I'm still learning that for sure. You know, I'm constantly going through, like with the productized course, I launched the first one back in 2014. I did a small update in 2016, and now I'm completely rebuilding it for 2018. And it's this constant iteration process of making sure that what you're teaching is actually step by step rather than just kind of a brain dump. Because that's so easy for people to just kind of talk about what they know. But in order to package it into an actual useful program that somebody can follow, it really takes a lot more.
It takes a lot more. And I think that kind of comes back to what I said earlier about making sure that we're working with the right clients, because it's my job to make sure that the people that I work with want to create something that really, truly helps someone get to an outcome. Like, I'm not interested if they want to create a course, you know, just because it's going to, you know, they want to reach a certain mark in their business for vanity purposes. And what I mean by that is, oh, I want to, you know, I want to have a 10K launch program or whatever it is. I'm like, man, that's not, it's unlikely going to happen first time around. Just going to give it to you straight. So, you know, we're creating this course for you to develop and change and evolve over time. I think of it as like, you know, the greatest paintings of all time. You know, they weren't created over, you know, in a year. For some of those, you know, amazing paintings were done over 10 years or, you know, even like 15 year span. And then they thought, okay, you know what, it's finished. So if you kind of come at it, come at course creation and creating something that will really help someone at it from that perspective, you'll realize that, oh, it's not just a one and, oh, it's done, it's finished, and I can be sipping margaritas on, you know, Bahamas.
Right.
It doesn't quite work like that.
Exactly.
It's work.
So you kind of identify this gap. You see that there are a lot of low quality courses out there, a lot of people struggling with even how to start creating a course. Like, what was your first step? So you identify that gap or that need. Like, who's your first paying client?
My first paying client, God, let me think now. It was, I offered, and I think I just did this in a Facebook group. I put together a 90-minute session for people just who needed help with their course. Because I kept seeing the same question come up. I'm like, how do I get started? Or what do I do? And how do I put this on paper? How do
so
I
just,
put an
actually,
outline together?
Let me stop you there. Like, so you found a Facebook group of people who are interested in online courses. And that's where you kind of start to identify other people out there in the market who are struggling
so
with
it,
this.
Yeah. You know what? It wasn't a... They weren't interested so much, like the group wasn't about course creation. It was like a female entrepreneurs, like businessy type of group. So people who were looking to build their businesses, probably in the same, maybe a little bit further along than I was at that stage. And so what happened was I just posted in that group and said, hey, who wants a, you know, 90 minutes with me, kind of gave them a bit of my background. You know, it's just a one-on-one session. We'll go through and I'll help you kind of unpack your course. And I did that for about 6 months and it sold like hotcakes. Like I just kept doing it. I just kept posting in the group week after week, doing the same thing. I think I sold the sessions for $199 for a 90-minute session with me. And I think that for me, that was the best 6 months of my business because I was really able to find out exactly what people were struggling with, like what they needed, the words that they were using, why it was a struggle for them, like the hangups that they would have.
And so they're proving really it helped. with their wallet, right? Like, so are you just literally like posting to the group saying like, this is kind of the price, this is my email address or this is my website to book it and that's it?
I didn't even have a website at that time. Like I didn't have anything. Like I had a Facebook page. So people would come to the Facebook page. I had an email list on MailChimp, but that's it. I didn't have an opt-in or anything like that. I really just got started, a really bootleg way of getting started.
But I'm curious, because I know that a lot of people listening are probably in that same position as you were back then. Like, how did you get kind of strangers in this group to kind of trust you enough to pay $199? Like, how did you kind of demonstrate that you are an expert?
Yeah, so I just kept posting in that group all the time. So, and I would comment on things that people were saying. I was just around. So this is the, you know, 4 years ago before groups were like tens of thousands like they are now. This is a small group. I think it maybe had 1,000 people in it or so. And so I just was in there posting things that I thought might be helpful, like quotes or it was nothing really around course creation. Every now and again, I would post something about course creation, but I didn't do it a lot. But the post that I did post in the group was quite long. It told people who I was and why they should trust me. And then that was it. And I think I got lucky. I think it was just, I was there right place, right time for a good 6 months or so, and it just helped people out. Honestly, so, I don't think there's any special sauce.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've seen that. I've actually seen it work really well for people kind of trying out an idea for a service, just offering it for free. Just saying like, hey, for the first five people, I want to do this for free. And just in exchange for your feedback, you know.
Yeah.
But you had actually had people paying for your time and talking to you. So what did you learn out of those 90-minute sessions?
Oh my goodness. It was a real eye-opener because people didn't the real struggle that I found was that there were two main areas. One is they couldn't get what they wanted to say onto paper. So, you know, they're really experienced already, but putting it down on paper or putting it in a slide format or actually putting it in a way that someone will learn was the biggest hang up. Then there was, you know, which kind of falls into the same thing, how to outline it, you know, how many modules should it be? How many lessons should I include? Should I include this? Should I include that? That was also an issue. But then, you know, 4 years ago, the technology for online courses was a little bit clunky. So that was a whole other, you know, half of the call would be talking about that and what would work best. At that stage, I didn't know too much about some of the platforms. So I kind of made it my duty. So it worked well for them. I would make it my duty to go and find out and then report back to them even after the call. So that kind of educated me and also educated them as well. So
my mom she was a teacher for many years, a professor, and then she did some corporate training. And one kind of lesson that she sent across to me was just that, you know, when you have to teach it, that's when you really learn it. And so if it's your job or if people depend on you to kind of walk them through it or for you to do it for them or for you to teach it, you know, you're really going to get to the bottom of it and figure out all the ins and outs so that you can confidently do it, but also answer any questions about it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. So, and I think, yeah, that's how I was able to teach myself and kind of get going with that. I think I was one of the early testers for Teachable when it first came out. So that was also really good. And I saw it kind of just evolve over time, over the last four years or so that they've been doing, that Teachable's been around. So that when it started, oh my God, it looks nothing like it does now.
Were people like during these sessions, like were you focused on the nuts and bolts of creating and building and launching the course itself? Or were people also asking you about like, how do I market this? How do I do the launch sequence? Like that sort of stuff?
So people were asking me about that and still even to this day, they still ask about that. And I say, that's not my area of expertise. That's not what I'm here to help you do because it's a big machine. Like I can't take on someone's marketing and helping them launch as well as the course creation and setting up the, you know, working on the course and setting up the tools and all. That's really, it's just too much. So yeah, so they were talking about that a lot and asking those questions, but it's still to this day not an area that I focus on.
Yeah, I think that's really smart to kind of focus in and just really carve out your niche in the whole process, you know, and really position yourself as like, look, this is the specific problem that I solve, the setup and the delivery of the course. And, you know, there are plenty of other resources for the marketing side of it.
Yeah, and that kind of comes back again to working with the right people. So the clients that I work with, obviously they are creating their course before they market it, but they've been working and doing what they have been for long enough that they know that the course will solve a problem for people. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the marketing and promotion side of things, they know what they can do to be able to set it up and get it going. And then they can just tweak things along the way. I'm really clear with them that, you know, the marketing side of things won't happen overnight. And it's not going to be something where you can just be like magically see things, you know, happen. It's going to take time and you're going to have to give yourself that time to tweak it and change it. It's not like what marketers say, like, oh, you know, it's going to happen in 30 days. No,
right.
It's not.
So coming out of these 90-minute sessions, you're learning a lot, you're hearing a lot of problems and gaps and pain points and frustrations. So like, how do you start to translate that into additional services or larger projects?
Yeah. So that kind of moved on to kind of doing a bit of mentoring and helping people through the process. But what I found was that for my own, you know, for me, I couldn't help I just wanted to get in there and try and fix it.
So your first approach was like, here, done with you, or kind of direct you, coach you.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's the done for you that really just works.
Because I found that it, with that kind of offer, I think it was like 8 weeks or so, it helped them create their course. And, you know, we'd jump on calls and stuff. But over that period of time, I just saw my clients' kind of participation and their desire to get it finished just plummet, because things take over, other things are a priority. And as much as they wanted to get the course out there and finish, just didn't have the time to dedicate to sit down and do it, you know, the word just kind of doing it in between things and kind of here, there, and everywhere. So, and for me, I was like, oh my God, I just want to see it finished, because I know how good it is. I know how it will help people. So that's when,
like, how did you price that?
Oh,
like that eight week kind of coaching thing, was it, are they paying like upfront for the whole thing?
So I think I had two options. They could have the option to pay upfront, and I think that was, now I can't remember, I think it was $1,500 for the 8 weeks they could pay up front altogether, and then I think it was $1,700 spread out, you know, they over three payments. Mm-hmm. But most people paid up front, so that worked out well, and I did sell quite a lot of those, but it just didn't work for me. And I don't feel that I'm not a coach, like I'm not that type, but I just want to get in and do it. Like, yep. I don't want to talk about it, I just want to get it done.
So then how did you make that adjustment?
Yeah, so with the clients that I did have, so the couple that I had left, I just said to them, do you want me to do this for you?
And they're like, yes, please.
Yeah, of course. And I said, you know, it'll be, I think I charged them an extra $1,000, which is like nothing, but I got it done within, you know, I think 60 days or something. And it was just me.
And when you say do it for them, like, what are you doing there? Like, is it the actual creation of the content, or is it like you take their content and set it up?
Yes. So we're taking their content. And so what I would get them to do is I'd get them to record themselves talking to a blank slide deck. So I'd say, put your content onto a blank slide. I don't care how many slides it is. You just tell me how, you just talk over that. So what I'm doing then is then taking their content, and then I'm putting their slides together, making sure it's engaging, making sure that it has, you know, the right outcome. And it's good because then they also add notes as well inside that recording. And then from there, I hand it back to them. They're blown away. They then record it, and then it keeps happening for each, you know, each lesson. And for me, you may think, oh my God, you know, that's a lot. But one of the key things when I'm working with my clients is that we keep those videos short. It doesn't need to be long. The reason that they're working with me is to help them, you know, obviously get that content concise, straight to the point, making sure that it's meeting people where they are. And we're not, you know, rambling for ages, even though I'm a rambler myself. But it's straight to the point.
Do you have to work with them a lot even before they start recording those blank slides, just on the outline and the...
So before we even get there, we work on the outline and what they're going to say. And we don't have a script for that. You know, we just have bullet points that we're talking to. So when I'm telling them, okay, this is, I need you to record it and record over these slides, you're talking to these bullet points that we've said, and, you know, this is what they're going to learn. This is the outcome that they'll get at the end of this lesson and how it ties into the next one. That real seamless flow is something that's really important to me, because people watch lessons and modules at different times and not in order. So it's important that you're referencing something that happened before or something that will be coming up, so that they have an idea of what the bigger picture is. So those are the things that we kind of cover during that time, and I help them with that slide creation side of it.
So just listening to this, like, it just sounds like a lot of work and a lot of a lot of different steps, a lot of different pieces that all need to come together between just the overall topic, the planning, the outline, doing the recordings back and forth, doing the slides, putting it all together, then setting up the course site and membership. So for folks listening, like, how did you go from all that work into a more stream? How did you start to streamline that and like, and make it so that like one project isn't completely different from the next?
Yeah. One thing we did to do, or I had to do, was get clear on who it was that we were working with. So at the beginning, you know, you're working with people who are literally just starting out with their business and want to create a course. This service just doesn't work for them. But what I found was that the perfect client for us is people that have been doing this for a long time. So they tend to be in the health and wellness space. they've been either, you know, or a relationship coach. They've been doing this for a long time, got heaps of background knowledge. They've either been doing what they normally do in their practice, but now they want to put it online to get themselves more leverage in their business because they just can't keep working, doing the same amount of work. And what I also realized is that these people have full days, like the full 8-9 hour days of seeing clients. So when they were coming to, originally when they were coming to sit down and do their course content, they just couldn't do it. It wasn't there. So that was the reason why I had to step in. So once I got really clear on who the ideal client was, then it made it really easy for me to meet them exactly where they are. Like, I know what they're struggling with. I know what their day's like. I know roughly when I'll likely get a response from them. And I knew how to kind of, I just broke everything down into three main stages. And also preparing the client as well, as much as possible before we even get on the call, you know, have our first like consulting call together, was also really important. So kind of having a bit of a onboarding, this is what it's going to look like, this is what's going to happen, this is what you can expect, this is probably what you can expect in your family's life as well. Like, being really clear about that, setting up those expectations, like, let your family know that this is what's going on. Like, next 3 months is probably going to be a bit rough. Get a clean if you need one, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that onboarding process for clients coming into a done-for-you service is so important. And that's one of the biggest, because I've spent so much time both myself and with my team at Audience Ops, just constantly refining that what the first month experience is for new clients. Because what happens is, like, if you really knock it out of the park during the first 30 days or, you know, the first little while of working with the client, everything else from there on out just gets so much easier. And they're so much more likely to either stay, you know, subscribed if it's a retainer service, or they're likely to, you know, repurchase from you or recommend your services. Just all these great things happen if you get that first month, just slam it out of the park. But on the flip side, if things go wrong, even tiny things, like even if you make just tiny mistakes and, you know, it's a little bit bumpy in the first month, then it's like the opposite happens. Like, they're going to start to look for reasons to want to cancel service or, you know, or not work with you again. And so that's so important. I mean, that's one of the things, like, as I'm, you know, rebuilding the productized course, that's one of the big lessons that wasn't fully in the first version that I'm going to add an entire section just all about onboarding in this new version. So
yeah, I'd definitely include it. Like, it's, I think because I was going through it on my own, I just realized that they need to know all of this stuff. And I don't want to have to say it on the call, which is what was happening before. You know, we would have our first consult and then I would go through all this housekeeping stuff and all of this stuff. And I was like, wait a minute, I keep saying the same thing over and over again. They need to know this before they get on the call. They need to have this prepped, this available so I can see it and send me all the, all of that stuff before we meet, so that when we get on the call, we can just hit the ground running. And so, yeah, and there's check-ins there, and my assistants do a lot of that setup. I'm not really part of that onboarding process. I just meet them on the call.
Got it. And so when you started to really focus in on that ideal customer, and you know who's not your ideal customer, what were kind of your next steps from the marketing side of things for your business? Like, how did you start to get more leads in the door? Was it still just kind of like networking in these groups, or did you go beyond that?
God, it's really funny. I really wish I had, like, oh yeah, this happened. But I think it was a series of different things. I think at that point, this is when I was starting to kind of systemize this a little bit more. And I had, you know, like a rush. I don't know what happened. Like, clients came from everywhere. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I need to sort this out.
Is it just kind of referrals from existing clients?
It came from referrals. It came from YouTube. People have found my videos and then they'd reached out, or they heard that I did some work with. It was just kind of like it. I think, you know, 2 or 3 years of hard work could kind of all come together at the same time. And it kind of come my way, which is great. So yeah, so that's pretty much how it worked.
And content marketing, you've been creating like YouTube videos, and that's helping?
Yeah, that's been my most, it's been my highest list building source, comes directly from there. But it's also been good because I literally created them because my clients were asking me questions about how to do certain things. And so I would say to them, like, hey, is it okay if I just record this and I just put it on YouTube? They're like, yeah, sure, fine. So I'd fix it, whatever it was, and then I'd put it on YouTube. So some of them are like tech tutorials, and other things were questions that my clients would ask me before that we would get on the call. And I was like, well, I'm just going to create a video. I'll
record that. That's great. And, exactly. I'm sure that those really help with search and people kind of searching for those answers.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty much how I kind of build my list. And that's how, where the marketing aspect of it comes from. I have done, you know, Facebook ads and stuff like that, but yeah, they've been okay. But I've noticed that the quality of those people, for some reason, maybe it's the offer that I had or opt-in that I had, wasn't quite as, those leads aren't as good.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I think I've seen that, and I've certainly heard that from a lot of different business owners. I think just the thing is, when people find you organically and they start to build that trust organically, kind of on their terms without following an ad, not that ads don't work or they can't work, but I think there's just like an inherently a higher quality of audience member and lead and customer when they kind of find you organically, especially from a referral.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. And that's what I've found. Because people like go through my channel and then just like binge watch all of my videos. I'm like, oh my God, I love your videos. You know, it's so cool or whatever. And so that's great. They kind of know me already before I even send them an email or anything like that, you know? So that's one of the great benefits I do like about having that. So that's been my kind of marketing strategy. I do try and post, it kind of stopped a little bit now, but post every other week or once a month, and it works for me.
Awesome. So before we kind of wrap up, I did just want to touch on bringing on your two people on your team. So, because I know that there are a lot of folks in this audience who are completely solo, and maybe they want to stay solo, or they don't necessarily want to have a large team, but they're doing everything themselves and it's kind of just dragging them down. I've certainly been in that boat at different times in my career. But what was your first step in bringing on like the first of those two people?
Yeah, so Joseph was the first person that I brought on, and he was just there to help me with the admin stuff in my business. So whilst I was busy working on clients, like there were other things that needed taking care of. I needed to move from my previous email service provider to another one, another email marketing one. That needed taking care of. I just didn't have the time to do all of that stuff. Like things were just a little bit messy in my own business. I was busy creating courses for my clients and they're doing amazing, but mine was just like a hot mess and it's just a little bit crazy. So I really brought him on just to kind of help with that and kind of help with social media side of things. He helps out as well with the YouTube SEO stuff and actually the production of the videos. So that was his main job. Like that, I record it, that goes straight to him. He knows what he's looking for.
And that's so key too. I mean, you know, people who put out a lot of content or just do a lot of things, you know, I mean, I hear this question a lot, like, you know, how are you doing so many things? And the answer is, you know, you have people who help to take care of a lot of the production work. I mean, this podcast, like all I do is get on the call once a week. I record it, put the recording in Dropbox, and my editor just does the rest. He writes the show notes, he does the editing, puts it up and everything else. And
that's right. Exactly. And so we had to build a process and a system around all of that so that I wasn't having to go back and check everything every 5 minutes. Like if it doesn't look like this, it's wrong. Like it needs to look like this or it needs to sound like this, whatever that kind of video production part is. I'd had to set up a process around it so that he knew what to do and I could just get on and focus on working with the clients. But then I got too busy again then, and I had my third child. So in between this, I have three kids. So this is all going on, and I'm kind of managing my family and kids and pregnancies and all that kind of stuff. So I had my third child.
Incredible.
And then, and then I thought, I can't keep doing this. Like I was actually getting a little bit burnt out and didn't know what to do. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, oh, it's just, I just want to go to sleep for like 5 days. Like, right. I'm so tired. And so she said, you know, why don't you just hire someone else? And I thought, oh, hadn't actually thought about that. Like, it just didn't even cross my mind. Like, hey, why don't you hire someone else to help you whilst you're trying to do all that stuff? And then I tried to, then I productized the service properly then. And I was just working on the consulting side of things and helping my clients with the outlines and everything else. And so the second person that I hired was more of a project manager, doer, like he was doing the implementing, creation of the slides and all of that stuff, setting up the platform, and then the other person is dealing with the my business side of things. So I was really just left to focus on just the consulting, getting them set up, getting the core of their content just right, and then it goes off to the rest of the team. And that's pretty much how it evolved. Like, it didn't happen straight away. It was, it was truly an evolution.
Just kind of build a system and a process, one small piece at a time, and start to move that stuff off of your plate onto the plate of your people.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. The funny thing is, it must have been about 6 months ago. I was sitting at my desk and my son was asleep. And which is normally when I'd go and do a little bit of work in between then, or I'd have a call. I didn't have a call. I didn't have anything major that I needed to do. I had that like sinking feeling of like, oh shit, I've missed something. Sorry, excuse my French.
Right. No,
I've missed something. Oh, I need to follow up with this client. And I went into a site and there was nothing that I needed urgently to do. Like, everything had taken care of. And it was funny, it hit me. It's like, oh, so this is what it feels like,
right.
I suppose. I've been, you know, trying to set processes up and all of that stuff that I had forgotten that's what I was trying to achieve all along. And I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't do anything. I went and had a coffee and I went and sat outside in the garden. My son was asleep. It's really nice.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. That is a truly rewarding, liberating feeling for sure. You know, I mean, for me, sometimes it's just like when we're traveling or doing like a day of travel on a Tuesday or something where I can't get to the computer. It's like, yeah, you know what? The team is running with this stuff and I know things are getting done. And yeah, it's an amazing feeling. Awesome. So like, as we kind of wrap up here, like, where do you think this is going next? Like, do you expect to grow your team further? Do you like kind of the size that it's at now?
I like the size that it's at. I don't really want to grow it any bigger. Not just yet, especially with my kids being so small. I'm happy with the way it is and it works for us. I think one thing I will do more of is do more of the consulting side of things. I really enjoy that. I'm working with a not-for-profit at the moment and helping them build a course platform for their members. And they have like 3,000-4,000 members of mostly nurses. So it's great because it's coming from a totally different industry. So I think more of the consulting side of things, but I think I've become a bit of a process nerd. Like, I really love it.
Yeah. It's like once you so many people say that, because it's like, at first it's like, oh, this is boring and tedious and it takes so much longer to write these processes. But then once you start to see it working and you can actually have some freedom and you get to just focus on the parts of the work that you really enjoy and working with people that you enjoy, that's where it becomes, you know, really, that's where you get that return.
Exactly right. Yeah, no, it's been the biggest. But one thing I will say, you know, to anyone that's listening, you know, if you do want to bring on someone to, you know, a team member or a part-time assistant or even someone to come in and help you, you've got to be prepared to train them. Like, you've got to be prepared that it's not going to just happen. You have to become a better leader for a start. And then you have to know how to teach them your process or the way things are done. They will get it wrong initially, but you've got to have that patience to let them know, like, okay, we'll go through this. It's going to be rough, but we'll get there together. Yeah. So that's a really important thing.
It's an investment up front, you know, you're not just paying someone money, but you're actually investing more of your own time up front to free yourself up a little bit down the road.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Cool. So, Jana, this has been great. I know that a lot of people listening are going to get a lot from this. Of course, folks can go check you out over at janetcafadar.com. We'll link that up in the show notes. Where else can people connect with you?
You can also find me on YouTube. If you just type in Janet Cafadar, you'll find my YouTube channel up there at Course Creators TV, and you can check out my videos there. I have like little tech tutorials and reviews of online course platforms and even just course strategy videos as well. So you can find me there. You can also find me on Facebook, but you know, I think YouTube is probably the best place to find me and my content. I don't actually have all of my videos that are on my blog, so best go to YouTube.
Got it. Awesome. Well, thanks, Janice.
Cool. No problem. Thank you so much, Brian. Appreciate it.
Hey, did you know that you can get all of these show notes and highlights and links for every new episode sent straight to your inbox by going to productizepodcast.com. Sign up for the email list. Yep, it's all there. And while you're at it, a 5-star review on iTunes always helps the show find more listeners just like you and me. Okay, that does it for today. Late.